Hello and welcome to episode 265 of the Punter Podcast. I'm Chris Barnett. In the second bonus episode of the week, we look ahead to Friday's card at Aintree with another four Grade 1 races for us all to enjoy. City AM racing editor Bill Esdale previews all of Friday's latest day action at Aintree Racecourse. So let's have a look at racing on Friday, second day of the Grand National Festival this year. And of course, we record these podcasts 48 hours in advance. So we record this on Wednesday lunchtime, which means we haven't seen a race yet. We haven't even seen Tuesday's, although we've already previewed that yesterday. You can catch that podcast as well. So Bill, you're heading up to Aintree to enjoy all of the action live, and we'll speak to you live from the course on our regular Friday episode. Looking forward to Saturday's racing and the Grand National itself. We spoke yesterday about the weather. I think they've changed the Grand National course already to heavy, haven't they? And they're expecting rain on the Wednesday and Thursday of some sorts. So it looks like it's going to really just stay heavy all the way through the meeting, doesn't it?
They had 10 mils on Monday. They had 9.2 mils yesterday on Tuesday. They've got rain arriving today, unknown amount. They've got kind of at least 4 to 6 mils overnight into Thursday, so the first day of the meeting. There's a then kind of showers into Friday, a couple of mils again. It's just enough to hold the ground where it is. Now, the ground where it is at the moment on the national course, it's heavy, soft in places. Going stick reading of 2.9, anything in the threes is heavy, but 2.9 is really slow on the national course. And then on the Milbay Hook course, soft, heavy in places, going stick of 2.8 on the chase course and 3.1 on the hurdle course. So it's going to be hard work. And every drop of rain, it makes it even worse. I mean, if the forecast changes and it gets really bad on Thursday or Friday, they've got a problem. They've definitely got a problem with the meeting come Friday, Saturday, because this is the small field size tell you all you need to know, but this is really hard work. And if the rain doesn't arrive, the ground's going to be drying out, which makes it even harder work. So it's going to be brutal conditions as regards to kind of stamina and staying and stuff. So from a punting perspective, it's you've got to be careful. You've got to tread carefully and find horses that just love relentless galloping, because that's what you're going to need.
And how negative is that going to be for the general public who, you know, watch one race a year in most cases for the Grand National, and they're going to see, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 finishings, something under 10, like you said on Tuesday's edition when we brought that out. And also the way they're going to be finishing after over 4 miles, it's not going to look good, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if they're sensible and they go a steady pace, which they tend not to do, but they should take it, they should go slow. And yeah, well, we've got a few races over the national fences before we get to the Grand National itself, so we'll get a feel for how bad conditions are. But you know, the other thing is that it can dry out pretty fast at this meeting as well, you know. So yeah, it's one of those. But it, you know, if it's raining and it's going to be hard work, it won't be a great spectacle, I wouldn't have thought.
Okay, keep our fingers crossed that the weather's not as bad as it could possibly be, as expected. We'll have a look at Friday's card then. They start on Friday at 1:45, 3 miles and a furlong there for the novices chase, the Grade 1, 6 go to post. I know the way you're thinking was a winner at Cheltenham for Gavin Cromwell. Won the Fulk Warwin Kim Muir by 8 lengths. Absolutely strolled home. You backed and tipped up Chianti Classico, who came out and won at Cheltenham as well, winning the Ultima for Kim Bailey and David Bass. So they're up against each other, different races, but they're not in a different race on Friday. Iroko was at Cheltenham as well, finished 5th in the Turners. And Broadway Boy, who unfortunately missed Cheltenham due to injury, is now back for Nigel Twiston Davis, comes here fresh. Is that of interest to you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a small field. It's only the six runners. I do love Broadway Boy as a horse. Whether he wants the ground this bad, that's the only kind of negative with him. I mean, he can handle soft, but if it's really heavy, it makes this slightly different. I mean, he's won at Aintree before, so he ticks plenty of boxes. It's an interesting little race with the six. I know the way you're thinking is the obvious one. I thought he'd be a bit shorter. Than he currently is. I mean, that was a phenomenal performance, his win in the Kim Muir. I know he was off a mark of 145 and he wasn't beating much, but he won it like a Gold Cup horse. I mean, it was, where would he have finished in the Gold Cup? The way he travelled and jumped, it was a really, really strong performance. And he looks a horse over this trip and ground who, it was off that day, you know, who's going to be equally effective. He's got form on heavy behind kind of Gaelic Warrior, and imagine really good form. And, you know, he won his novice hurdle at Garran on really heavy ground. So ground should be fine for, I know the way you're thinking. He's just the most rock solid of the six. Iroku reappeared with a fair enough performance at Cheltenham after a bit of an absence. You know, he was third at this meeting last year behind Apple Away on soft ground. Whether he wants it really heavy is another bit of a question mark. He's got form on very soft in France, but you know, he's interesting as a horse with great potential. I was actually a bit surprised they threw the pair of them in together, but he looks on paper probably the biggest danger to, I know the way you're thinking, with Chianti Classico. He obviously did us a nice turn at Cheltenham. It's one of those races where you know, you've got two horses that we fancied and put up at Cheltenham. I know the way you're thinking, Chianti Classico up against a horse that didn't make Cheltenham in Broadway Boy. So, and Iroku we actually put up. So it's one of those hard races to bet with your head rather than your heart. My heart would love to see Broadway Boy win. My head tells me that I know the way you're thinking could be very, very good. And at the current prices, looking at them now, Hills are 11-4. I know the way you're thinking. If I had to have a bet in the race, I'd probably lean towards him. But it could be a bit of a brutal affair.
At 220, 2.5 miles handicap hurdle, and a big field here, the maximum field, in fact, of 22. Due to the lineup on Friday, the likes of Katira for Dan Skelton, who's only been off 27 days, or Castle Dumont, been off 28 days. Willie Mullins brings him over. Theatre Man's in there, in the Waterside, and Django Bai also are making appearances in what looks a really tough race. And what they're going to go at the moment, I see it's like 10-1 the field.
Yeah, it's a wide open contest, this really good race. It's nice the field size are held up for this kind of handicaps, because the greater races are all small field fares. Lots of horses of interest here. You've got the classy ones at the top, like your Springwell Bays and your, you know, Mai Tais and Django Bai even. You've got some really nice ones there. And then you've got your unexposed ones down towards the bottom, and that's probably where I'm kind of heading. The horse that grabbed my eye to start with was Django Bai, and I'd be very interested to see how Henderson's horses get on the first day of the festival, because he's a horse that I like a fair bit, and he ran his kind of race at a time when at Kelso when the others weren't running their races, but I think he's pretty rock solid in a big field handicap and probably play to his strength. So he was of interest. So he's definitely one to keep an eye out for if Henderson's fire on day one. But the two I'm putting up in the paper on Thursday. The first is West of the Bridge. So the kind of second or third string of the Skelton team. He is an 11-year-old who has form on heavy ground. And he was sixth in this race 12 months ago. Tristan Durrell rode him that day off a £5 higher mark. So he's £5 lower. Wasn't ridden hugely positively at Bangor last time. I thought he shaped with a fair bit of promise. I think he'll take a step forward here. He is 11 years old, but that's kind of factored into the price. I just thought if he's ridden prominently, he could outrun his odds at around 28-1. I thought he had to be a part of the kind of betting portfolio of this race. And the other one is the Paul Nicholls horse right the way down the bottom in the Waterside. Harry Cobden rides for Paul Nicholls. He was a horse that was talked as a potential kind of Ballymore horse at one point when he was beaten at odds on at Ascot in November. And then he was impressive winning a handicap at Lingfield back in January and kind of threw his race away at Ascot back in February. He misbehaved and he was too keen throughout the race. They would have done a fair bit of work with him, and he's got a hood on for the first time at a big field where he can be buried. I just don't think he's a horse that it will end up being a 120-odd horse. I think he'll be a lot better than that, and this looks a good opportunity for him. So, yeah, west of the bridge and in the waterside each way, but keep an eye out for the Henderson Foreman. You can throw Django Bay in there, and that might be a bit of a kind of combination exacta.
We've got down that route here with the combination exacta.
Love a combination exacta. Yeah. If you like three in the race, throw them in. And if you hit the jackpot, then you get a good payout.
Absolutely, you will do.
You might be playing that one back as a bit of a highlight thrill. You never know. If you're going to get those two first and second, it's going to be a nice payout.
I'll stick the marker on there already at that point in the podcast. We're back to grade racing. Grade one, 255. It's 2 miles half a furlong. Novices hurdle, 8 runners. The Irish got a pretty strong hand here. Mystical Power, who ran at Cheltenham, of course, was second in the Supreme behind Slade Steel, taking on Firefox, who was third in the race for Gordon Elliott, and the unlucky Dysart Enos, who got ill before Cheltenham and didn't go, really broke Fergal O'Brien's heart. She's now taking on the boys. She was going to take on the girls at Cheltenham, but he's thrown her in here, taking on the boys in this race, with Mr. Giff and others as well. The Irish are good. Be great for Fergal and the team. He loves Dysart Enos, and she's done everything right so far.
Yeah, it's a good little race. It's only the 8, as you say, but it's definitely a good contest. Mystical Power will be favourite here. It'll be on lots of people's shortlist on the back of the Supreme form. And that a reproduction of that will make Mystical Power pretty hard to beat here on ratings. He's the best of these. You know, and he ran a cracker at Cheltenham and the Supreme. I fancied Mr. Giff that day. He ran okay, came fifth, travelled well. Probably the combination of another run under his belt and heavy ground will probably help him. He was a really impressive winner on heavy ground at Limerick. I think he'll go really well, Mr. Giff, and you know, he's probably the kind of value alternative to Mystical Power and Firefox. I'm looking at the two mares down the bottom, Dysart Enos and Golden Ace. I'd love this to be in a bigger field, but I think Golden Ace will run well. She did us a good turn in the mares novices. She's 12-1. She's probably, just because of her connections, slips a bit under the radar here, but you know, when you put the £7 and factor ratings in, she's right in here amongst the best of these. And I would definitely play her. I would, you know, as the prices are still kind of unfolding here, I'd probably look to be with Mr. Giff again if the ground was heavy. I think I definitely want to be with him. But I definitely have a saver on Golden Ace at 12s or 14s in these, because I think she's just under the radar again.
At 3:30, 2.5 miles. We've got the Melling Chase, another grade one, another small field, as we've seen throughout the week in the graded race. He's 7 in this one. And John Bond, well, let's hope he's back. For Nicky Henderson, Nico de Boinville, we'll know a lot more by Friday how the stable is going, as we've been saying throughout the week. We don't know yet because we haven't seen the race, and Nicky's not had many runners recently. But John Bond, he's back in action in this one, taking on Pick Dory. We all seem to think loves Ascot, but has won, of course, at Aintree. He won the Marsh Chase there in the past. And Protectorat, who came and won the Ryanair at the Cheltenham Festival. Envoy Allen, supposed to be in this one as well. We conflated too. And Minella Drama. We're looking forward to seeing John Bond back in action.
Yeah. I mean, Pick Dory won this last year. The Marsh is this. This is the Melling Chase, and that it was named as the Marsh before. But Pick Dory won this 12 months ago, and yeah, he'll be a warm order to go well again. But it's a much better race this time around. You've got Protectorat, who obviously won the Ryanair, and you've got the enigma that is John Bond stepping up to a trip that probably suits him now. The interesting element here, as you touched on, will be the form of the Henderson team. It's weird. If his horses are flying, John Bond could be 7 or 4. Yeah. If they're running terrible, he could be 7s. And it's that big a swing. Yeah, that's the volatility of the market here with the form of the team. you've got Envoy Allen in here, who's obviously second in the Ryanair and is a useful yardstick. Conflated run, so he doesn't run the Grand National, so that's another one out of the big race. Decorations will obviously be done on Thursday. Only the seven, wide open from a betting perspective. I'd probably be with Chambon, to be honest. I think he has the most potential of these over the trip. I think what he's been doing over 2 miles is probably takes him out of his comfort zone. I think the step up and trip will help him. I think heavy ground's no problem. He won the Tingle Creek on bad ground. If the Henderson forces don't run terribly on day one, I would be confident that Chambon round 5 to 2, 11 to 4 would be the best of these seven.
Right. We go to the Grand National Fences then a little bit later on at 4:05. Again, a circuit less, 2 miles, 5 furlongs here in the Topham. So we've got 25. Didn't fill this one. It's maximum 30. First of all, before we talk about it, are you surprised didn't fill the Topham?
Yeah, I mean, 25. I mean, it's still a biggish field. Maybe. I mean, the difficult thing about a race like this is that plenty of these have other options. You know, they can run in other races, and you know, the ground's terrible, and you know, yeah, it's good race though. Good race.
Nearly 85,000 to the winner. Huh? Bill Baxter is pretty much at the top of the market. Warren Greatrix, he's always loved this horse, Son of Milan, and well, he hasn't really done an awful lot since winning at Aintree last year when he won, guess what, the Topham. Yes, he did. Shake Him Up Ari's in there for Ben Pauling and Harry Redknapp. Your Darling's also a Ben Pauling horse. Lord Vesti, very much associated with the course at Aintree. He'll be looking for a winner. Life in the Park comes over from Ireland for Henry de Bromhead. Arizona Cardinal. I'm sure we could go on with a list. And there's a few bigger prices you've been looking at. But how did you see the Topham this year?
Yeah, I mean, Bill Baxter, you know, he won the race 12 months ago, and Warren Greatrix's horses are running okay again. He's dropped back down to a mark of 134, which is only a pound higher than 12 months ago. I can see the case for him. I think it feels like a bit of a better race. They're reaching for pieces for the first time. That may have made the difference, but look, it's a really difficult race. This, you've got some good ones at the top of the Mullins team, Classic Getaway and James de Burley, two nice horses, but the ground's going to be hard work, and it's finding horses that will cope with conditions, and that's not going to be easy, as my cough continues to trouble me. Arizona Cardinal is a horse I like. That's one of the ones I'll put up for Stuart Edmonds. Handles bad ground, stays further, jumps nicely. Just in the mix, isn't it fast improving. May just be a horse at round 12 to 1 who is worth taking a chance on, an improving 8-year-old who can go well. The other one was Lounge Lizard, had a much bigger price, right? 20 to 1 shot of Henry Daly's. A horse who has got experience of these fences, was fifth, beaten about 2 years in the Beecher Chase in December, but he's beaten 100 lengths, but handles the fences and shown a bit of decent form since over a shorter trip. But the fact that he can handle ground and stays is probably a plus with Lounge Lizard, and I thought he would run well too. So those are two against the field, but you can make a case out for so many of these, from Frankie de Burley to Frero Bamboo. There's so many old friends. You just need a lot of luck. It's over the national fences. Even Richmond Lake can go well at a big price. But no, Lounge Lizard and Arizona Cardinal will be the two for me.
We move on to the 440. It's the Sefton Novices Hurdle, another grade one. Field of nine, so we've got each way terms here. 3 miles, half a furlong is the distance, and this is pretty much a rematch of the Albert Bartlett with the Jukebox Man for Ben Pauling, second in the race in this one. Reading Tommy Wrong, who was pulled up, we'll talk about that in a moment. Willie Mullins brings him back over in the double green colours. He was pulled up in the Albert Bartlett. Dancing City was third in the Albert Bartlett, another Willie Mullins horse. And Shanna Bob is a horse that we haven't seen for a while, 118 days, another of the Donnelly horses, as he's Dancing City, of course, who will be looking to sort of put a really positive note for Nicky Henderson for the week. But What went wrong with reading Tommy wrong at Cheltenham after he'd won so well at Nace the time before, Bill?
It was strange around that. That was one of the only kind of well-fancied Mullins horses that didn't fire for whatever reason. Never travelled at all at Cheltenham, but he certainly won't be the first to bounce back at Aintree if he was to bounce back. Wouldn't be for me. I think there's a bit of a question mark over him now, but it would be no surprise to me if he was to get the job done. Jukebox Man was an agonising defeat for Harry Redknapp and Ben Pauling. To have the race won when Stella Story came from the clouds to kind of reel him in over the last. That was pretty painful for his supporters, but he'll run well again. And then you've got Dancing City, who's a horse I always liked, who is a horse who ran really well for the Mullins team. He was third behind Stella Story that day in the Albert Bartlett, and handles bad ground and just will run his race again. Rock solid around kind of 5-1 Dancing City. I would give at the prices, I'd probably give a chance to Croke Park around 8-1 for Gordon Elliott. Missed Cheltenham, having bombed out in that Reading Tommy Wrong race, but few of Gordon Elliott's didn't really run well at that time of year, and he's much better judged on winning on heavy ground at kind of Clonmel and Navan. So he looks to stay all day. He doesn't do anything quick, just keeps on galloping, and conditions might just turn out to suit him, particularly if it's really bad. I think he'll run well. So my view on this race again is if conditions are treacherous and really heavy, then I'd be with Croke Park. If they're drawing out a little, probably be with Dancing City. So that's the way I play that race.
Okay, we finished Friday at 5:15. Extended 2 miles here, handicap hurdle for Alder Hay Children's Hospital up there, do brilliant work. It's conditional jockeys and amateur riders, field of 19. Any thoughts on this one? I mean, when you look at this, do you specifically go for a jockey that can do him or herself justice, or is it purely on horse form?
Yeah, this is hard because you're going to be the last race of the day on the hurdle course, having had some big field hurdle races already. I mean, the ground can be quite chewed up at this point. You've got some inexperienced jockeys. You've got some very good jockeys. It's a fascinating race. I thought the one that kind of, it was a race we were kind of half toying up with Rare Edition, to be honest. And I was quite interested just to keep an eye on the market for Karuma Gray making his debut for Christian Williams. I thought we haven't seen him since Stephen's Day or Boxing Day in Limerick, when he was third behind the King of PRs. Karuma Gray has since changed stables and gone to Christian Williams, but I thought the jockey booking of Mikey O'Sullivan was very interesting about Karuma Gray, so I definitely have half an eye on him in the market because it would be a big price. And then the other one was probably Brucio, a horse that was brought down before he could do anything at Kelso at the first, but has got plenty of experience and handles soft ground, stays well, which you're going to have to do here. I thought Ben Bromley's a good pilot who rides plenty of winners for these connections. It's obviously the son of Anthony Bromley, but those were the two that kind of interest me at this early point. But it was a very difficult race, to be honest, because it really depends on how bad conditions get. You know, there's a horse there, one of the Gilligan's horse, Z Band, Jack Gilligan riding for Paul, and you know what won his last two. Gone up in the weights a fair bit, but handles bad ground and is another one of interest. So yeah, if conditions got really bad, he could be an interesting one. But the main two for me to keep an eye out for at this stage would be Karuma Gray if the money comes, and Brucio. Those are the two that kind of catch by at this early stage.
Well, it looks a tricky one to finish the car. Let's see what the weather does. Let's see how Nicky Henderson does and his stable form. If it's back, we won't know until Thursday, but by Friday, he could be having a few winners there at the track. That's all from us for today. We'll be back again with our usual Friday racing podcast, looking ahead to Saturday's Grand National and all of the other top races of the day. So please make sure you try and join us again on Friday. Don't forget to visit the City AM website for all of the latest news and Bills tips. All the tips are going to be there throughout the week at cityam.com. That's it for now. We'll be back on Friday. We'll speak to you then.